RadioSt.Pete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studios inside Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Now, let's go live to Big C for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the Big C office located in downtown St. Petersburg. I want to take this time to thank our sponsors, Big C and Advanced Recruiting Academy, for their support. I also want to thank all those working behind the scenes, especially Thomas, for all of your help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you'll learn that it's my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, in every possible industry, so that anyone who's considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to meet and talk with some very interesting folks, and I made a lot of new friends in the process. So before I introduce my guest, I want to mention that if you want to view the website while listening to the program, you can visit tampabay.rays.mlb.com. You can also follow us live as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on our live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. So I'm very happy to welcome my guest today, Brian Auld, the president of the Tampa Bay Rays. Welcome to Job Talk, Brian.
Thank you for having me, Dean.
So before we talk about the Rays, I'd like to thank a couple of folks, Diane Villanova and Rafaela Amador Fink, for all of their help in making this interview happen. So thank you very much, ladies. I appreciate your effort. So, Brian, let's start off by telling everyone about your background before you actually became president of the Rays. And let's begin with, where are you from?
Well, I've grown up all over the place, actually. I was born in Berkeley, California, moved to Japan for kindergarten through fifth grade, went to middle school in Westchester, New York, high school in Dallas, back out to college in the Bay Area of California, taught fourth grade after that for 5 years in East Palo Alto, California, before going to business school at Harvard and then coming down here to work with the Rays.
Really? And so how did you actually transition from that to what did you do first with the Rays? Did you come in as president?
I have been high school friends with Matt Silverman since the early 90s, and Matt Silverman was working with Stu Sternberg at Goldman Sachs when Stu began exploring the opportunity to buy what was then the Devil Rays. He decided that if he was going to do that, he wanted Matt to be the team president. Matt gave me a call and said, "You interested in helping out with this endeavor?" After spending a couple minutes quizzing Matt on why anybody would be crazy enough to let him run a Major League Baseball team, particularly anyone who'd been successful enough to buy one, I was convinced that this was a pretty unique opportunity and said, as soon as I finish this MBA, I'll join you down there and we'll see what we can do.
And so when was that?
That was in 2005.
Okay, great. So it's been quite a while now.
Yeah, I've lived in Tampa Bay longer than I have anywhere else, so I do consider this to be my home.
Wonderful. And so, you know, you mentioned about the Devil Rays. So how did they, give us a little history about the Rays, and especially like how did they transition from the Devil Rays to the Tampa Bay Rays?
Well, anyone who's familiar with the franchise knows that the Devil Ray years were not great. The team never had a winning record. Frequently, if not almost always, came in last place. And when Stewart bought the team and we started thinking about what we wanted to do with it, we knew that some sort of rebrand was in order. We wanted to establish that it's a new day. And there wasn't a tremendous amount of affinity for the Devil Rays name, nor did it have a long, long history. And so we thought that we could take a shot at trying something new. We worked with some brand consultants to try to figure out the best way to go about that. And it turns out that coming up with a new name for a team is very complicated, that there's a whole lot of lawyers and copyright issues that come into play. And so while we had some pretty off-the-wall ideas that we bandied about, in the end we just realized that sticking with the Rays, dropping the Devil, and going with the new color scheme was going to be the best route for us.
That sounds great. And so, you know, I know that many of the listeners want to know about the future of the team in St. Pete and Tropicana Field, and we'll get to some of that, but I want to first talk about things that you probably don't often get asked. And so I'm always interested in how leaders of organizations spend their time, and I have a pretty good idea about how busy you must be during the season, you know, running the organization. But what are your duties, and what does your schedule look like during the off season?
Well, first of all, every day is different. I do spend a lot of time right now trying to make sure this community understands what the Rays organization is all about, why we're approaching our ballpark situation the way that we do, and it's a nuanced and complicated issue, and so that takes up a lot of my time. But we do consider ourselves a community asset, so I think it's really time well spent, making sure that all the public officials, all the business leaders, all the nonprofit organizations understand why we're going about this process the way that we are, and why we're trying to be as responsible as we are. Beyond that, this is the time of year when we're trying to get budgets firmed up, when we're trying to set the promotional schedule for the coming year, when we're taking a look at our actual game schedule and figuring out how we're going to plan around that. And so there is really a lot to do. Baseball kicks up again in February with spring training. And so the off season's real short, and we've got 162 games, 81 of them at home to plan for. It takes a lot of time.
Wow. And do you get any vacation time? Is this when you take a vacation?
I'll take a vacation at the end of December around the holidays. I take a week off for Thanksgiving. We encourage all of our staff to spend whatever time they need with their families. And so I take 3 and 4 day weekends here and there. But it's rare that I'm completely unplugged. You know, usually I've got to be able to check the phone at least once a day, make sure that everything's all right, the roof's still in place.
That's a good thing. And so, you know, that kind of brings us to the employees first culture that that I understand you have there with your organization. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so having taught in the inner city at a charter school, I came to recognize that motivated people, or at least I came to believe that motivated people are the best way to run a really efficient organization and to really accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. And I sort of honed that philosophy during business school. When we came to the Rays, I knew that I wanted to talk about how we put our employees first, but I've always tried to be very explicit that that comes at an expense, that means that you're putting your employees above your customers, above your profits, above your revenues, above your product. And when you make it that clear, I think it really starts to resonate with everyone. Now, just so that we understand one another, that doesn't mean that customer service suffers. It doesn't mean that the product you're putting out there isn't as superb as it could be. It's our belief that by focusing on employees, all those other things wind up in the best possible way that they can be also.
Okay. And so do you have programs?
Yeah, sure. We have a number of them. One of my favorites is our wellness program. We open up the gym to all of our employees. We have a yoga class that we offer for free once a week during the lunch hour. We sell FitLife meals at a subsidized $5 cost for lunch, so that the quickest meal available to staff is not also the one that is worst for them physically. And it's been great for us. We've seen our healthcare premiums drop across the board, and we've seen our employees get significantly healthier. There are a lot of folks walking around our office right now who have lost a lot of weight, and it's really, really heartwarming because I think people are happier as a result. The one we're probably most recognized for is our employee community outreach team, and that was the product of a policy we have that gives every employee one paid day off per month to volunteer anywhere they'd like in the community. And so in addition to allowing people to go about that on their own way, we also have a group of people who organize activities each month and recruit volunteers to go out and support just about every nonprofit organization in Tampa Bay. And that's been really fulfilling. And again, it helps us to create the culture that we want, because employees who are excited about that kind of policy are exactly the kinds of employees that we want to recruit and retain as an organization.
Great. You know, one of the reasons I really wanted to interview Brian was that I found out about some of the wonderful things the Rays are involved with behind the scenes when I interviewed the folks at Heart Gallery for Kids. So I want to spend some time talking about some of the community activities the Rays are involved with. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised at your community involvement, but it really gave me an appreciation for the team in a way I didn't have before. And so I'd like to share that with those listening today. So let's start with that organization, the Heart Gallery for Kids. Tell us about how you helped that organization.
Well, let me go back one step before I get to that, okay. Which is to just make sure everyone understands that we are a mission-driven organization. Our mission is to energize the community through the magic of Rays baseball. And I like to remind everyone, especially our fans out there, that we understand loud and clear that the best way to do that is to win baseball games. And we devote most of our time and energy to putting a winning product on the field and making sure that this organization is something that everybody can be proud of from a baseball standpoint. But if it was just baseball and if it was just wins and losses, it would leave, I think, just about everyone in our organization feeling a little bit hollow. And so we keep that community piece and that magic creation piece alive and well on both the field and in the community. The Heart Gallery is maybe the most magical partnership that we've developed over the years. And the reason I say that is because there's a handful of kids in Tampa Bay who are living in forever families now, have been adopted by loving parents who they met at Rays games. And the way that we've helped facilitate that is by bringing in kids from the foster care system or from the orphanages in the area and giving them a suite every single game to watch baseball. And whether it's Eckerd Youth Alternatives or the Heart Gallery, they bring in potential foster parents and potential adoptive parents, and they give them a low-pressure environment to hang out with kids. It's not an interview to be adopted. It's watching a baseball game with people who may or may not be interested. And those relationships have borne fruit a handful of times. But I always also remind people, even if we hadn't had one successful adoption, for the 15 to 20 kids who are with us every single night, for most of them, that's the best night of their year. Mm-hmm. And to be able to provide that, it just gives so much meaning to the work that we all do to keep the baseball team running every day.
Yeah, it's a great organization. And I'll tell you, it was just that I had no idea that you even offered that. And when I heard about it, I just was really taken back by it.
It's great, and I want to make sure that the Heart Gallery deserves a lot of the credit for that. You know, the best partnerships that we have, what we do is we say, hey, we're a baseball team. Here's what we have to offer. Now you tell us how we can help you. And so the Heart Gallery helped define that entire program. It wasn't that we came to them and said, hey, why don't we do X, Y, and Z? It was that they came to us and said, we know what we need to facilitate adoptions. Let's make that happen at your baseball games. And when we get that kind of involvement and engagement from a nonprofit partner, we can really make great things happen.
Great. So I'd like to talk about some of the other things that you, other partnerships you have with good organizations. And one of them, which is really dear to my heart, is the Big Brothers Big Sisters organization. I think that's also important to you as well.
So absolutely, yep.
Tell us about that and what you do there.
I've been on the board of Big Brothers Big Sisters personally since 2007. It's an organization that near and dear to my heart, and you know, just my two cents on what I think makes Big Brothers Big Sisters so great is, while there's statistic after statistic showing that they create higher graduation rates and increase self-esteem and keep these kids out of very expensive to the taxpayers jail cells, again, even if none of that happened, the fact that a mentor takes a kid to the beach for the first time or to a baseball game for the first time, makes sure that kids get to have a little bit of joy in their life in what is otherwise just an incredibly stressful living environment, because Big Brothers Big Sisters helps the very neediest, the most at risk in our entire community. That would be enough, because I think we all believe that every kid deserves that opportunity. The Rays have been able to partner with Big Brothers Big Sisters in so many ways. We provide tickets, obviously. We bring thousands of matches out to the game every year. We provide a lot of awareness and signage opportunities for the agency. And it's great to know that we're serving more kids than we ever have. I'm also particularly proud of the role that I played as a board member in merging the Pinellas and Tampa agencies into one agency for all of Tampa Bay. And that has allowed us to make us a one-stop shop for families who are often transient between the two communities, and also for donors who usually don't care where county lines end. They want to support children throughout the region. And of course, that lines up exactly with how we feel about our baseball team. So it's been a great partnership. I can't say enough about the staff and how lucky we are to have them here in the Tampa Bay region.
I agree. And there's another organization called CASA and the Kaboom. Tell us about that.
Well, CASAS, you know, is community involvement to stop abuse. Domestic violence appears to be in the news more and more every day now. And while I wish I thought that it was a rash of new cases, I think it's been something that's been in our community for a very long time. And the more that I've learned about it, the more that you realize that even if you don't know exactly who in your life is being affected by it, there's almost certainly someone, usually a woman, who is dealing with abuse, and it's a scary situation. And CASA provides an environment for families to escape and to be safe. And our organization built the playground in partnership with Kaboom, the entire thing, and we had our entire staff out there to build it in one day, so that when a mother and her kids show up, it's not a gloomy place. It's a place with a brand new, clean, fresh playground that that allows kids to forget about a little of the horrors they've seen at home. And we've heard from CASA that it makes an incredible difference in the timing and the manner in which kids recover. So it's been a great relationship. We also done clothing drives with them over the years. We are going to start putting their pamphlets in our women's restrooms so that we can find ways to make sure that anyone who may be suffering from abuse knows that there's help and support out there for them.
That's wonderful. Something I was reading about was your T-ball initiative. That's how I like that. Tell us about that.
You've got the whole list.
I do.
The T-Ball Initiative is a little self-serving, although it certainly helps everyone too. We want to make sure that every kid in Tampa Bay knows who the Rays are and plays on the Rays team. And so we provide T-Ball jerseys to all the T-Ball leagues in the area. And you'll have the Red Rays play the Blue Rays, play the Green Rays, but every kid is on the Rays. And it's certainly our hope that those kids grow up to be Rays fans, even if they're unfortunate enough to be born to a Yankee or Red Sox fan at home. those folks we think will come along when they realize that they're letting their children down to the degree that they are.
Right. And I really like you also do have a South St. Pete initiative. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it began, I want to say, almost 10 years ago. There was a drive-by shooting in South St. Petersburg. A little girl named Paris was murdered, and it just broke all of our hearts. And a couple of blocks away from Tropicana Field, and certainly opened my eyes in a more real manner to the pain and the suffering and the poverty that goes on in that neighborhood. And so we wanted to get involved. What we did in the wake of that shooting was give every kid in the neighborhood a backpack. And we felt great about that, and we love seeing our backpacks all over town, and we heard from the teachers that, you know, the school supplies that we provided along with that really went a long way. But we also came to recognize that we didn't really understand the community and that we are a baseball team, and that for us to have a real impact in trying to improve that area, we needed good partners. And so we started working with the recreation centers, and in particular United Way, to put a concerted data-based effort behind the commitment that we've made there. My favorite piece of that is the walking school bus, which we do in partnership with Jable. And quite simply, it just is an organized effort to allow kids to walk to school together safely, because there are many parents in that neighborhood working many jobs. They can't get their kids to school all the time. And kids walking alone wasn't necessarily safe. And so this was a cost-effective way to make sure the kids showed up at school each and every day. And, of course, you know, education is the most important piece to breaking that cycle of poverty. So that's one thing that we've done. We send Raymond out there. We have players out there to talk to children at the rec centers to make sure that those schools know that we're involved. And over the years, we've done a lot of tutoring with Campbell Park Elementary School, which is really literally next door to us, to really make sure we're doing whatever we can to help our neighbors.
And that kind of ties into your Reading with the Rays program.
Reading with the Rays is just a partnership with all the libraries. We still have libraries. Not everything's on the internet. We encourage families and kids to go out there and check them out. They're brilliant resources, and they're a huge part of our community. And we love driving kids to those libraries and causing them to pick up books and read. And we think that's a good in and of itself. And so what we do is we encourage kids to read. They accomplish their reading goals. We give them free tickets to Rays baseball games and begin the cycle of making them a lifelong Rays fan. That's Evan great. Longoria has lent his name, time, and energy to that. He goes and reads to kids every single year, and he's really the driving force behind making that program so successful. Newspapers and education, the Tampa Bay Times, are a key contributor there as well. We couldn't do it without them.
You mentioned Longoria, and also he and Archer do some activities within the community. And tell us about those, and are there any others with other players too?
Sure. Almost all of our players are involved in something in one way or another. Kevin Kiermaier's big program this past year was to to teach kids how to swim. And he partnered with the YMCA to make sure people were water smart from the start, because drowning, I believe, is the number one cause or fatality cause for children in our county. So teaching kids how to swim is not just an important life skill, but it's a survival skill. And so it's great that he's done that. Evan works really closely with Moffitt. He's also got a near and dear relationship with Pet Pal, making sure that we take care of the animals that need help in our community. And Chris does just about everything. He you can often find him visiting John Hopkins All Children's on the weekends or on his off days, just to make a difference in a couple kids' lives. He's been a spokesperson for Big Brothers Big Sisters over the years, Boys and Girls Clubs, and he does that stuff all around the country right now. So we're really lucky, and Chris and Evan in particular, to have a couple of our star players who really are really decent human beings trying to use their platform for good.
So diversity and inclusion events like Breaking Barriers and Pride and Roberto Clemente, those are some really good programs. Tell us about those.
Yeah, and they mesh really nicely with St. Petersburg. I think our city has shown a commitment to diversity, and our team wants to make sure that we make that clear too. I'll start with Pride. We took enormous pride in being the first professional sports team to sign on to the amicus brief in support of marriage equality for the Supreme Court, and I was fortunate enough to be tapped to be the spokesperson on that initiative. After we did it, two other teams jumped on, but I should say I wish there had been more. So we're proud to have been out in front of that, to have been making the It Gets Better videos as far long ago as 2008, and we've tried to be really involved in a positive way on what I think is an issue of equality, and that is to make sure that our friends in the LGBT community appreciate that they are considered by the Tampa Bay Rays and most other folks around here to be on equal footing with everyone else. We had an opportunity this past year in the wake of the Orlando Pulse shooting tragedy to turn our Pride Night into something bigger than it's ever been. And what we did was say that all tickets were $5 and 100% of the proceeds from those tickets would be going to the Victims Fund. And we weren't sure what would happen. Our attendance lagging behind those of our peers in Major League Baseball is hardly a secret. But we had to take the tarps off the upper deck and make room for 40,000 plus people to come out for that Pride Night. It was so heartwarming to see that our community come together, stand up in support of Orlando, stand up in support of LGBT equality, and to do it in our home ballpark really reminded everyone who works at the Rays about how powerful that mission can be, about the magic that we can create when we work together. And so while it was certainly a really sad evening, I know that our organization and I think a lot of the LGBT community locally walked away with a feeling of hope as a result. So that's some of what we've done on the Pride front. Breaking Barriers is just our Jackie Robinson celebration that we do every year. We tie a lot of that to what we do in South St. Petersburg. And I think the best part of it has been our ability to convene African-American church, community, and business leaders together in one place to talk about the many issues that continue to persist and affect the African-American community today. And those of us who work for the organization spend most of our time listening and putting that same challenge I mentioned about the Heart Gallery back to those folks. How can we help you? You have to let us know. What can you use our tickets for? How can we be of support to the educational system, to what your church or recreation center may be trying to accomplish? And we basically have the same approach to Roberto Clemente with respect to the Latino community. It's one of the few times that I think Latino leaders from all across the Tampa Bay region can gather in one spot, talk about the issues that affect them, and know that they've got a willing partner with limited resources, but a lot of assets available to be supportive.
Great. And you also have a program called SunSmart.
SunSmart, skin cancer screening, I hope is what that is.
Exactly.
We got a lot of programs, so if I screw one up, I'm going to trust you to let me know.
You're doing great so far.
Yeah. We've saved, I think, close to a dozen lives by catching what could be potentially malignant, I hope I'm using the right terms, malignant tumors in people in advance. Basically, it's harder than you think to get people to even go to free screenings. And so not only do we provide free screenings, but we give you tickets just for getting screened. And have had, you know, again, I think we've saved a good number of lives according to the doctors who run those tests for us, and helped a whole lot of people fend off potential future problems just by making sure that they're checked. If you live in Florida, you need to get screened for skin cancer on an occasional basis. So I encourage everyone out there to do it and come out to a Rays game whenever we're doing it this next year. We'll be happy to take care of you.
Wonderful. Now, you also work with Habitat for Humanity. Mike Sutton, the CEO for Habitat for Humanity, also was a guest last year. And so tell us about what you do with them.
Well, we don't care for Mike Sutton, but no. Mike is a terrific guy and has been telling us for years about how important it is for us to get involved with Habitat. We've always been a supporter in a small way, but this past year we built a home, and I'll tell you, I don't know the exact funding mechanism, but it basically cost us nothing. We got a full 100% offset against our sales taxes, and Mike will happily walk anyone out there with a business who's curious about how that works through it. But I think we put in over 1,100 hours on that house, which is the most that any organization has ever put into a Habitat house in Pinellas County. We built it at about half the time that it normally takes, and it was just all of our employees taking advantage of that one free or one paid day off per month to go down there and raise walls and put a roof on, and we painted the place. And Lakiba Wallace was the woman's name. I hope I'm allowed to say that. She was just wonderful. She and her daughter, we've still got a relationship with them today. Nice. And we actually went back and made sure that they had a large screen TV to watch their beloved Rays on this past season. Next year, they'll be watching a lot more wins.
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, the last program I want to talk, community activity program I want to talk about is with the Rays on the Runway.
Rays on the Runway is run really, the Rays organization supports it, but it's run by the Rays wives and significant others. Mm-hmm. And in partnership with the Children's Dream Fund, which, of course, is just a wonderful organization run by Cynthia Lake. They care so much about kids with potentially life-threatening diseases, and they bring them out to our games all the time. So our players really get to know some of these kids, and then when they go to the Rays on the Runway event, the kids and the players get dolled up in the highest-end fashion. They walk the runway together. It's absolutely adorable. People seem to love it. Raises a bunch of money for a great cause, and is a nice intersection between what our players like, what their wives and significant others like, and what our fans like, which I think is to get to see our players on a more personal level every once in a while.
That's great. I'm speaking with Brian Auld, the president of the Tampa Bay Rays, today. And Brian, I'd like to talk about the team and an interesting part of your website, which is the ballpark update and ballpark reimagined. It's something new, isn't it?
Ballparkreimagined.com. Yeah, I encourage everyone to check it out. We have gotten thousands of suggestions for what our next ballpark should be like. We want to build something unlike anything that's ever been built. We want it to truly be the first in the next generation of ballparks. And we've got four basic guiding principles for that. The first is that we want a baseball experience unlike any other. We want to make sure that you enjoy the game in our ballpark in a way that you may not be able to anywhere else. And as part of that process, we're deconstructing the entire park. One of the things I like to talk about the most is rearranging the seating bowl. Instead of sitting in lines of seats like we have since the times of the Greeks and Romans, where if you're a group of four or more, it's hard to talk to people who are on the other side of the group. Can we not arrange it in a horseshoe or in some sort of semicircle fashion, maybe provide a table, make it a more social environment? And we've challenged our engineers to start thinking about that, start thinking about ways that we can do that. And I'm optimistic that we can accomplish that because our second guiding principle is that we want to make it smart and sustainable and the right size. We do not need, unlike some other markets, to figure out a way to get 50,000 people in the smallest possible place. We're never going to draw crowds that big, and we don't need to draw crowds that big to be successful. So with smaller crowds and maybe a smaller capacity, can we arrange the bowl in such a way that it provides a completely unique, more social experience? Well, we certainly think that we can. The third principle is that we want it to be an icon. We want this to be a facility that brings great pride to the region, something that belongs on every postcard that you see in the airport when you come in to and from Tampa Bay. And we certainly want to make sure that it's absolutely beautiful. And then finally, it needs to be open and available 365 days a year. We want people to come and sit in a seat on a beautiful December day with their laptop, jump on our Wi-Fi, have a cup of coffee, and do some work. We want to encourage community groups that may be having large events to use the kitchen facilities that we have that are capable of feeding 20, 30,000 people at one time to serve their events, to offer culinary classes. We don't know exactly what all the ideas are, but we know that we want to build something that is truly valuable to everyone in any number of ways. And is the more we think about it and the more we hear from people about what they'd like their ballpark to be on that middle of December day when baseball's not happening, the more and the better the ideas we get.
That's a great idea, having that website like that.
Yeah, it's been great, and we've been really impressed with all the great ideas we get from people. We've also run Blue Sky workshops with groups of 10 to 20, 25 people, where we sit down and walk them through this process and say, what do you want? What do you need? The first thing I tell every public official when we start talking about the ballpark is, how can we solve your public policy needs with all ballpark? That's the kind of way that you make public-private partnerships truly efficient and effective for the community. And, you know, we have a lack of event space here in Tampa Bay. I've been hearing about that loud and clear. So we want to make sure that we build in some unique event space into our new ballpark. We want to make sure that whatever amazing food options we have in our new place, that they're also available during the rest of the year when we want people stopping by, visiting, maybe even just kids running around on the field playing wiffle ball. There's no reason that I can think of that the field wouldn't be open and serve as a public green space for 200 plus days a year.
You know, I was really surprised you've had concerts there. I mean, ZZ Top and some really great names in the past.
Yes, we've done a whole slew of post-game concerts with acts of just about every stripe, and they've been very popular. A lot of the times we've neared our capacity in terms of attendance on those nights. We are certainly trying everything that we can to give everybody a reason to come check out Tropicana Field. It's a great place to watch a baseball game.
It really is
comfortable. There's great sight lines, and you know, we've put in close to $30 million over the years to make sure that it is the best possible place that it can be to watch baseball.
Great. So let's talk about the team a little bit and kind of give us a preview to the 2017 season. Any player additions or changes you can talk about? And what's the team look like?
Well, I don't know exactly what's going to happen in this offseason, but I can tell you we're really excited about having Duffy at shortstop next year. We think Brad Miller settled in nicely to first base, and it really solidifies a pretty darn good infield with Evan Longoria at third and Logan Forsythe at second. We've got the best center fielder in the game in Kevin Kiermaier, whose defense is truly extraordinary. And when you look at that sort of up the middle defense, it gives us a lot of faith in the fact and belief in our pitchers, being what we thought they'd be coming in this last year, and they kind of struggled a little bit. So, you know, our rotation continues to be strong. It will always be one of our strengths. And with a great defense behind them that's certainly capable of scoring some runs, we feel like this next year should be a good one. We should be right there with the other teams in our division, which together make up the best division in sports. It's never an easy challenge, and we certainly don't have the same payroll resources that some of our competitors do. But we've got players with a lot of heart, a lot of talent, and a real drive to win. And I think in Kevin Cash, we've got one of the very best managers in the game as well, who's going to put them in places to succeed.
So I hear you got a really good pitcher coming up.
I'm guessing you're talking about Blake Snell, who made his debut this past year after just lighting up the minors for several years. He's a big lefty. He's got a lot of talent. Had some growing pains this year, but also showed those flashes of brilliance that make you feel really good about his future. And so we think putting him together with Chris Archer and a healthy Alex Cobb gives you a really top end rotation at the front end, and we've got a whole bunch of pitchers, including Drew Smiley, of course, who are going to make that rotation really promising. It should be a competitive group in spring training, and hopefully they bring out the best in each other.
And where do you hold your spring training?
We're in Port Charlotte.
Okay. And so that's great to know. So also, you know, I guess the one topic that everyone wants to know about too is, you know, what do you want to say to everyone about the future of the Rays in St. Pete, and where do things stand as of today?
As of today, we're playing in Tropicana Field until further notice. I think it's important that everybody understands that. And at a minimum, we're going to be there for the next 4 or 5 years, because even if we had all of our problems solved tomorrow, which we are not ready to say that we do, it takes that long to build a new facility. The second thing I would remind everyone is that at no point have we ever sought to do anything but explore the entire Tampa Bay region, and really just Hillsborough and Pinellas counties, for a potential future home. And that's because we run this organization for our fans, and that's where our fans live. We are completely committed, 100% committed to the Tampa Bay area, and are doing everything we can to find the right location and build the right kind of ballpark that's going to allow us to be successful and to run this business on an ongoing basis in a sustainable manner going forward. And so I recognize that that's not exactly what everyone wants to hear, but we've always strived to give people the straightforward, honest truth rather than just telling them what they want to hear. The Mayor Kreisman, has done a tremendous job. We appreciate the courage he showed in allowing us to look in both counties for our future home, and the leadership he's shown in putting together plans for the Tropicana field site with the Rays on it, and I know that he intends to do the same thing with the Rays off of it. What I'd say to the people in St. Petersburg is that's a big piece of the future no matter what. And while as someone who lives 10 blocks from Tropicana Field right now, I certainly would not be upset if we figure out that that's the ideal home for the Rays, and we build that confidence that it can be a home for the next 50 years. In the event that we don't, we've still got a tremendous opportunity at development of that site, and we're still going to have Major League Baseball in the Tampa Bay area. And so I think it really will be a win-win for the residents of St. Petersburg, no matter what happens with the team. And I can tell you that that's certainly the way we're thinking about it and what we're driving towards. Major League Baseball in Tampa Bay isn't easy. It's a real challenge. Baseball's rules, we don't have a salary cap. And so market size affects the ability to put a team on the field, and we're a small market. We embrace that challenge. We live for it. It excites us. We're doing everything we can, and we will continue to do everything we can to put a winning product on the field. And we've been very successful. From 2008 to 2014, we had about as good a run as you can have. And so we want to continue and get back to that place. And if you look long and hard at our roster, I think you'll see that the bones for a real contender are right there.
Great. My guest today is Brian Auld, the president of the Tampa Bay Rays. And Brian, we only have time for a few more questions. And so let's talk about jobs. What kind of jobs are available at the Trop?
Well, we have about 250 full-time employees on the business side, and we swell to thousands of part-time employees, when we're hosting games during the summer. And so everything exists. From full-time front office jobs to part-time seasonal gigs to internships. You can find all of them at RaysBaseball.com. And I think there's an opportunity for just about anyone who's interested in anything one place or another. One of the nice things about being a Major League Baseball team is that you get a lot of applications for jobs. There's a lot of folks who want to be involved with us, and I think we've only enhanced that with our employees first culture. We've seen turnover really drop, and so we don't have a ton of job opportunities, and I think our reputation as a good organization, as a community-minded organization, and as a place where really bright, talented people work has made it even more competitive over the years. So one of the stats I like to give people is that we had 13 applicants for every job as a part-time fan host. That's to be an usher or a ticket taker or a box office person, which means our acceptance rate is lower than that of elite universities in this country. It's pretty remarkable, and I think it speaks to why we have such a fantastic staff and we get such great customer service scores.
Right. And so for the summer months, when do you start taking applications for those jobs?
We take applications at all times during the year. We may not have positions open right away, but if you go to that website, you can certainly fill in a form. You can find information about how to work for either our cleaning, parking, or concessions partners as well. And we'll be in touch with people when those jobs come open and when the training sessions start, which is usually in March.
So you do offer training, so somebody that didn't have experience could actually potentially have a position there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Okay. And so, I always ask people about, when you do have an opening regarding this area, St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay in general. So what do you think of the talent pool and ability to attract talent?
So we get talent from all over the place. And again, I think our business is a very attractive one. So I've never struggled with it, but I've heard from some of my colleagues that it's not always easy. It should be. When Matt called me and said the Tampa Bay Devil Rays should come down here and check it out, I had no idea what Tampa Bay was all about. And again, now having lived here longer than anywhere else, it's just a wonderful community. It's a great place to live, work, and play. The weather is incredible. I always remind people when they're complaining about the heat in the summer that this is the bad weather, and it really isn't all that bad. And so, I'm raising my three kids here. They love it. It's an easy place to raise a family. There's so much going for it. And for me, having been in some of the the crucibles of the United States, where the pressure is high and intense, and the hour, you know, after moving to Florida, I never was asked, how many hours do you work? That used to be a question I got all the time in living in other locations. And people in this area seem to understand that you work as much as you need to, but there's no great pride in making sure you work 100 hours a week to do anything crazy. And so the overall culture of this place really has really suited me nicely, and I think it'd be a great place for a business to come and relocate, and a great place for someone who's kind of looking for a new start.
So that brings us to the interview tip of the week. You know, if somebody really wants to apply for a position at the Tropicana or with the Rays, you know, what one piece of advice would you give them?
So for the Rays, it would be to be prepared. You should know a little bit of baseball. You should know a little bit about our history. You should be aware of our challenges. There's so much public information available that you should really be prepared. What I tell people who are just sort of looking for generic advice is that they should take an hour, 2 hours, and write down on a piece of paper all the things about themselves that are great, and then they should ask their parents and their friends to do the same things about them. What things have happened in your life that make you special? You should get them all down on a piece of paper, and then you should figure out how you're going to talk about those things in an interview. If there's one thing we've learned watching the presidential debates this year, it's whatever question gets asked, you can figure out how to say what you want to say. And so I encourage people, if there's something about you that the person across the table should hear before deciding whether to hire you or not, figure out a way to get it in there. I'd say the same thing about people who are applying to graduate schools or colleges. You know, what is it that makes you special? Make sure people hear about it, because that's going to be what separates you from everybody else. Anyone can answer, you know, what are your biggest weaknesses? What are your biggest strengths? Those types of questions. Making sure that you allow someone to understand what's unique and special about you is what's going to really cause someone to grab onto you.
Great. You know, I know you touched on this a little bit, but so what would you say to leaders of a company considering a new home for their business? You know, would you recommend St. Petersburg and the Tampa Bay area in general?
Yeah. I think there are significant cost advantages over a lot of places, which, you know, those businesses would have to look into on their own. But I also think you've got a growing and exciting business environment here. And one of the things that I love to talk about is how collaborative it is. It's, you know, if you go to Atlanta, you go to New York, you go to Chicago, those places are fully baked. They're done. Your business is not going to change that community. Your business could really change St. Petersburg or Tampa or anywhere in Tampa Bay. You know, it's going to be part of something that's growing and developing, and it makes you part of something bigger than yourself, which I think is something that all of us as individuals look for, and it's certainly something that gets me really excited about being the Rays. You know, the Rays are a critical piece to the future of Tampa Bay. I truly believe that. When I look around the room at the owners' meetings at the other people in my position, not many of them have that level of significance to their respective communities. And so, you know, if you want to look at it as being a big fish in a small pond, that's one way. But another way, I think, would just be to say you're part of a collaborative, cooperative environment that's trying to build a community for the future and that you can really have an impact on. It gets me jazzed up. It's always heartwarming to me to have people come and ask me about where we're going and how we're going to get there. You know, we get frustrated because transportation's not solved yet, because we have these open plots of land where we don't know what's going to happen yet. But that's also what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, great. So are there any upcoming events you want to talk about?
We'll be coming at you with some holiday packs at some point. Keep an eye out for those. We need all the support we can get, and I'll make an unabashed plug for folks to support the Rays in any way that they can. Best way to do that is to buy tickets. Fan Fest will be coming along come February. We haven't nailed the exact date down yet, and of course spring training is around the corner too. So baseball season gets here faster than you'd think, and I just encourage everybody to keep an eye out and be ready for it.
It's exciting. Great. And also this time I'd like to give my guests an opportunity to give out any shout outs. Anyone you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to my three kids, Lucy, Jack, and Mia, and my wife Molly. They're the ones who make all this happen for me.
Great. So, Brian, if somebody wants to learn more about Tampa Bay Rays, you know, how can they do that?
Best place to start is our website. And depending on what you're most interested in, you can find some email addresses to click onto there, send your questions, and we're a pretty responsive organization.
You also have Facebook, I believe.
We are on Facebook, Twitter, almost every other social media platform that you can think of. And we're good about responding to those things as well.
Well, that's great. And Brian, I really want to thank you for being here today. Good luck with the future of the team, and I wish you the best of luck in 2017 season. Hope we can make this an annual event, actually.
No problem. You can write me down, and thank you, Dean. I think this is a great program for the entire area, and appreciate you doing it.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much. You've been listening to my guest today, Brian Ault, the president of the Tampa Bay Rays. So make sure you come out and support the team in the upcoming 2017 season. I hope you enjoyed learning about all the great work the Rays organization does for the community. And as a baseball fan, we don't always hear about the charitable side of the team and organization, so it was a privilege to have Brian here today. And now it's time for Job Talk Alumni Update. Our friends at the Hart Gallery that we spoke about invite everyone to the Ale and the Witch in downtown St. Petersburg on November 14th from 5 to 7 p.m. for an evening of craft beer featuring community bartenders Annika and Jay Keeler. A portion of the pour will be donated to the Hart Gallery. And if you like craft beer and want to help out a wonderful organization, please join them on November 14th. For more information, call 727-258-4806, or you can check out their website at heartgallerykids.org. And our friends at the Island Reporter and the St. Pete Area Chamber of Commerce remind us of the St. Pete Wine and Food Fest beginning today, November 2nd through November 5th. The festival celebrates culinary aficionados and wine enthusiasts during five incredible days and evenings. The festival events include a wine pairing dinner on Wednesday, a tacos, tequila, and margarita event Thursday, craft beer festival on Friday, and 2 days of grand tastings Saturday and Sunday featuring an exceptional selection of wine from around the world and fare from Tampa Bay's best restaurants and chefs. For more information, check out the websites at theislandreporter.com and stpete.com. And I won't be here next week because I'm hosting ICOR's inaugural charity golf event on November 9th, and it's at the Vinoy. It'll benefit many charities, and I'm honored to be hosting the event. Check out the website at icorcharitygolf.com. That's I-Q-O-R, charitygolf.com, for more information. It's going to be a lot of fun, and the event will help a lot of people. I hope to see all of you golfers there. And I want to remind everyone to support St. Pete's newest professional sports team, the St. Pete Tide. They're part of the American Basketball Association, and their first home game will be on November 13th at Eckerd College. You can also listen to the game live right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. For more information, visit their website at stpetetide.org. And now it's time for my shout-outs. My first shout-out goes out to a couple of new friends and listeners, Rick and Karen. And my second shout-out goes out to my great friend, Jerry. Thanks for your support, and I'll be in touch with you soon. And to my guest in 2 weeks, Chris Steinacher, the CEO of the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce. Chris is always a great guest, and so be sure to tune in for that interview. It's always a lot of fun. And finally, to everyone who's registered to vote, Election Day is next Tuesday, November 8th. So it's just 6 days away. If you haven't already done so, make sure you cast your vote for this very important election. That's next Tuesday, November 8th. And I hope you'll take the time to check out the Radio St. Pete website and explore all the music and shows that are featured. If you can't listen live, check out the archive section where you can listen at your convenience. There's something for everyone, and new shows are in production too. You can always listen to past Job Talk shows, and you'll find some very, really interesting and fun podcasts there too. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. Plus, we're always looking for talent and contributors to the station. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. You can also send me a tweet or follow me on Twitter at Job Talk Host. I want to give special thanks to Joe Bordeaux, Zooey, Kat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live today from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. That's BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Listen again next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg.